There'll be one more, Jamie said, his voice almost choking, to take most of the staff home. Evacuation flight, said Chang. Yes, but no further resupply flight for at least 1 year.
1 year, Quintana echoed.
She took a deep breath, obviously juggling several possibilities in her mind. I will stay. But not forever, of course. Of course, Chang said. I will have to return to Earth. Jamie turned toward him. No, that's not necessary. Chang closed his eyes briefly. Very necessary. I am administrator, not working scientist. I cannot dig in Dr. Carlton's pit. I should not fill position on geology team that younger, more vigorous man could occupy. When evacuation flight comes, I will leave on it.
Jamie wanted to say something, but he could not think of any words.
All right, Carlton said impatiently. Are we finished? I've got to get out to the dig. We're starting to probe their cemetery.
Jamie held up one hand. Be patient a bit, will you?
But your wife should be part of this discussion, Quintana said. She's our psychologist. Emotional questions will be just as important as medical if you plan to reduce the staff here to 15.
You're right, Jamie said. As he fished for his phone from a shirt pocket, he couldn't help thinking, we're shriveling away, just like the lichen. But it won't take a million years for us to disappear from Mars.
Carlton, sitting across the low table from Quintana, shook his head impatiently. Just when we're about to hit pay dirt, we've located their cemetery. I've got an engineering team rigging up a deep radar set so we can use it to see what's buried there before we start digging.
Do you really believe it's the cemetery? Quintana asked.
I'm certain of it. Jabbing a finger at her, Carlton went on. In another week, we'll be uncovering the remains of the Martians who lived in that village. We'll be making epical discoveries, learning what they looked like, how they treated their dead. And now this, reduce our workforce to 15. It's as if they don't want us to find anything.
They? Quintana asked.
The fundamentalists. The idiots who are running the governments back Earthside, and everything else.
Chang almost smiled.
Perhaps they are right. Perhaps God does not want you to make discoveries.
Carlton glared at him.
I was joking, Chang said.
Jamie clicked his phone shut. VJ will join us in a few moments.
Chang sighed, then said to Carlton, many discoveries will remain undone. New crater that meteor impact made. Search for other villages. Stratigraphy mapping. South polar caps melting. None of that. 15 people can only stay here at base. No excursions.
My excavation will slow down to a crawl, Carlton muttered. Someone tapped at the office door, then slid it open. VJ stepped in, wearing coral coveralls with a bright orange and yellow scarf tied around her waist. Jamie moved over on the sofa to make room for her to sit between him and Chang.
We're discussing the problems that might arise when the staff here is reduced to 15 people, Jamie explained.
The question of psychological problems came up, said Quintana.
VJ glanced at Jamie, then turned to face the others and began,
Yes, the emotional pressures of having only a dozen or so people will certainly increase, especially at the outset. It'll be painfully clear that we're here on a shoestring.
What do you see as major problems? Chang asked.
Fear, she replied immediately. We've all got a certain amount of fear to deal with, but most of the time we keep it bottled up inside. Remember when that meteor hit a couple weeks ago? The fear came out then, didn't it?
Quintana mused.
With only 15 people, the fear quotient will grow, of course. It'll show up in different ways. Moodiness, irritability, aggression in some.
She looked directly at Carlton.
Physical aggression? Jamie asked.
Maybe sexual, Carlton said. 15 people is a damn small gene pool.
That night, as Jamie climbed wearily into bed, VJ asked,
Well, do you think your meeting accomplished anything?
A little, he said, pulling the thin cover over himself.
Chang said he'd leave. Carlton figures that digging up his village is about all we can do with just 15 people.
Nary's planning to stay.
He turned toward her.
Yes. She said she'd stay indefinitely.
Good.
Jamie turned off the lamp on the night table. Their bedroom went dark except for the faint greenish glow of the digital clock's display.
You didn't tell them about the other option, did you?
Vijay said. It was a statement, not a question. Jamie didn't reply.
Dexis plan,
Vijay added.
You could keep more than 100 scientists here if you let Dex have his way.
I'm not turning Mars into a tourist resort. For a heartbeat or two, Vijay didn't reply. At last she murmured,
You could at least consider it, love. You could be a bit more flexible.
No. She slid her body against his and ran a hand down his abdomen to his crotch.
You know, love, a hard man is good to find, true enough. But sometimes you've got to bend a little.
Jamie closed his eyes as he felt his body tingle beneath her hand.
You're using your feminine wiles on me. Just asking you to think clearly, love. Look at all your options. Don't make up your mind until you've explored the different paths that are open to you.
He grunted. You sound like my grandfather. He could hear the smile in her voice.
I make you think of your grandfather?
Jamie reached for her. You're a damn good psychologist, you know.
That's right, love. And now it's time for some physical therapy.
In Boston, it was well past 7 p.m.
Are you going to hide in here all night? We're almost ready to serve dinner, and you haven't even said hello to our guests yet.
Dex's wife was frowning at him from the doorway of the big old house's library. Wearing a skin-tight, low-cut gown of gold lamé, she held a stemmed martini glass in one hand. Dex looked up from the phone screen and forced a smile.
Just another minute or two. Tell the cook that he works for me, not the other way around.
His wife's frown deepened, but she said nothing further, just turned and swept grandly out of his sight. Sorry for the interruption, Dex said to the image in the phone screen. Raleigh Kinnear grinned at him.
Hey, I got a wife, too.
Dex could see it was mid-afternoon in Hawaii. Raleigh was stretched out on the lanai of his beachfront home, dark glasses over his eyes, garishly bright shirt flapping in the sea breeze.
She's throwing a dinner party, Dex muttered.
Trying to raise money for you?
I wish. She couldn't care less about Mars.
So when do you tell your Indian pal that you're shutting down the whole operation?
Dex sucked in a breath.
It's going to just about kill Jamie, you know.
Hey, you know what Sherman said about good Indians?
Kinnear laughed.
I can't do it in a goddamn message, said Dex, surprised at his own words. This is something that's got to be done face to face.
So bring him back home and tell him, Kinnear said, his smile shrinking. I've got investors who are hot to trot, but they won't stay hot forever, you know.
I know, Dex said as he realized what must be done.
There's a flight going to Mars in 3 weeks. I'll go out on it and tell Jamie what's going down.
To Mars?
How long is it going to take you to get all the way out there?
Less than a week. The fusion torch ships are fast.
Can't be fast enough, Kinnear said, totally serious now. I want to get this deal finalized, Dex. We're talking major bucks here, pal.
I know, Dex replied.
Silently, he added,
And we're dealing with a man's life.
The village. It was the same dream. Jamie walked through the village, an unseen ghost among the Martians. They were going about their various businesses as the warm sun baked their adobe structures. Try as he might, Jamie could not get a clear vision of them. He knew they were all around him, moving through the narrow, packed dirt streets, but he couldn't quite make out what they looked like. Up on the cliff face, far above him, the temple buildings stood white and clear in the sunshine. Jamie stood for a long time in the village's central square and stared up at the temple complex. Maybe I can go up there and ask them what their writing means, he said to himself. He saw that there were steps carved into the nearly vertical cliff wall. A rugged climb, he thought. They must be terrific climbers.
Ya'ate!
Whirling around, Jamie saw his grandfather Al. Once again in his best black leather vest and the hat with the big drooping brim and silver band circling its crown.
Ya'ate,
Jamie replied happily, reaching both hands toward his grandfather.
How's it going, Jamie? Al asked. Making any progress?